We get to have some fun this morning. We're going to talk about the Highland Games. And I have Kevin Conquest in from the Highland Games and Doug Wooster from Moët Hennessy. And gentlemen, I want to say welcome. And I know, Kevin, I didn't get the whole title right. Give me the whole title of this hoop-de-doo. Before you do, I got to say I went last year and it was an absolute blast. But give everybody the real name of the games.
Good morning. Thank you for having us here. The real name of the event is the 52nd Annual Glenmorangie Arizona Scottish Gathering and Highland Games.
So, 52nd?
52nd.
Did you say?
Yes.
You've been doing this for 52 years?
Well, I haven't been doing this for 52 years. I've been doing this for 20 years. This is my 20th year, and I don't know if that's because either I'm doing a good job at what I do or I'm a glutton for punishment. I haven't decided yet. But as far as the games itself, when you think about the fact that the state of Arizona is 104 years old and the games is 52 years old, that means that half of the statehood, this event has been part of Arizona's history.
So a lot of people have taken part in those 52 years, I'll bet.
Hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands?
Hundreds of thousands of people have walked through the gates of our Highland Games over the years.
Okay. And well, okay. I won't ask you to prove it. I'll just take your word for it. How's that?
There we go.
Now, you know, I think people get a little confused about the Highland Games. You know, what kind of games are they?
Well, the Highland Games were traditional Scottish athletics. And if you go back into the history books and learn about Scottish culture, this all goes back to the days of a feudal system where we had clan chiefs and clans. And the games were a test of strength to prove who were the strongest men for the clan chief to send into a battle against a warring clan.
Okay, so what kind of games?
Right. The test of strength, you know, the caber toss that everybody relates to Scottish Highland Games when they see the giant thing that looks like a telephone pole.
Yeah, the one I almost got hit with last year.
Right,
yeah.
The one that you almost tripped over last year because they leave them laying around.
Okay, that was what it was. It was tripping, not...
Right. So the caber toss is the one that I think people relate most when they see a Scottish Highland Games. But there's also hammer toss, weight for distance, there's putting, you know, different weights and different types of objects over a bar for height. And there's even things such as the kilted mile, which I don't know that we have this year at the games, but you see them a lot at other Highland Games.
Now, yeah, I did see the hammer toss last year, and I couldn't believe these guys were throwing that kind of weight that far.
It's amazing when you see what they can do. And not only the men. I mean, we have the Women's World Championships of Scottish Athletics, and that's been around at our games for 20 years, and it's exclusive to our games. So you see men and women of all ages out there, you know, hurling these objects about, and it's considerable. It's amazing.
Yeah, and that was the caber that I almost tripped over. There was a lady in, it was the women's caber toss.
Yes.
And she foisted this big caber, and it kind of bounced and rolled, and I was kind of right there and wasn't paying attention, and well, I almost got clobbered. but the funny thing is, the ladies are like incredible at this. I saw them tossing some weights and things like that almost as far as the men.
They really are amazing at what they do, and the Scottish athletes practice as much as they can all year round. It's almost a profession for them. The amount of work that they put in, the amount of diligence that they have to keep for their strength and also, you know, their agility, it's amazing.
Now, Doug, how did Moët Hennessy get in on this? How long have they been involved in this in the Highland Games?
I believe this is our sixth year.
Okay, so you've been around it a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember when it was a big mud pit out there. Now we actually have a real tent with flooring.
Now, things have kind of changed over the years that you guys have been involved, right?
Yes, most definitely. It's increased every year, so much so that we actually have formal tastings. We do four on Saturday. There'll be three on Sunday. They all sell out. We always tell people, come early. Make sure that you get in to the time slot that you want. Plenty of time to walk around and see the different booths. I think there's 40 different booths that you can go and visit along the way.
Okay, now what we're talking about here is that there is a Scotch tasting.
Correct.
And I have to tell you, having been out there last year, if you don't get there early, you ain't getting. Okay, I mean, I'm sorry that's a crude way to put it, but that's really the truth, isn't it?
It's very true. You know, and we always say, one of the reasons why Glenmorangie really fits into this is because, well, you were talking about the caber toss.
Mm-hmm.
The stills that we use are the tallest stills in Scotland. They're 16 feet, 10 and 1/4 inches tall. So that really gets rid of all the heavy phenols and all that peatiness that a lot of people find a little over the top in some scotches. Ours is a lot more mellow.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I really have. And I've had scotch over the years, many good ones. And many of them aren't as smooth as your scotch.
Well, thank you.
I'm kind of like that guy on Anchorman, scotchity, scotch, scotch, scotch. but there's more to it than just, hey, let's have us a drink.
Very true.
I think any sort of whiskey tasting nowadays has kind of taken on almost like a wine tasting a quality. Would you agree to a certain extent? I mean, I know it's a different, it's a liquor, it's not a wine. Right. But hasn't it taken that kind of quality on?
It most certainly has. And you know, when you talk about that and you think about that, Glenmorangie, our original, which is 10 years old, it's aged in first or second run casks. And what we mean by that is we actually get our barrels come from the Ozark Mountains. Dr. Bill Lumsden actually picks the ones he wants to use. We fire them, toast them to our specifications, and then we lease them to a company in Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Okay.
Familiar. And then we ship them back whole instead of breaking them down because we don't want to lose in the nuances of the wood.
Right.
And then we put in our wonderful spirit for 10 years. And then from there, we build into what else we want. We call it the building block stage. So if we want to do an extra matured range, whether it's sherry cask, port, or Sauternes, we choose from that point where it's going to go for another 2 years in those barrels.
Okay, now you gave me two small samples of scotch here.
Right.
Now one is lighter than the other, and I have the lighter one in my hand.
That's going to be the original. That's our 10-year. Everything
okay,
starts
this
out.
This is 10-year scotch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, that is just delightful. I shouldn't be doing this on a Sunday morning, you know.
Well, you know, it's Sunday.
Well, and it's only a taste.
That's right. It's only a taste. But
okay.
It is the day of rest. So if you want to have a little bit more later after your shift's over.
I can just sleep right here in the studio.
There you go.
Okay, now this darker one that you handed me.
That's Milshun. This is a new release for Glenmorangie. It's a private release, private edition. Dr. Bill Lumsden does these every once in a while. This one's really unique and really different. What he did for this is quite amazing. We got the casks from Portugal, and then he refired them, which means he retoasted them. And in doing that, it locked in all those rich qualities into the barrel, into the wood. So you can actually see the crystallized wine fired into the side of the barrels when you peeked in there.
Okay.
So when you taste it, what you're getting is some semi-sweet chocolate, caramel notes, but a lot of candied sweetness, almost like peppermint. And then there's this candy that I can't remember the name, but it's made out of rice paper that's really popular in Scotland. And it melts in your mouth and gives you this almost like a lemon zing flavor, ginger and some other wonderful candied notes.
Okay, so basically we're talking about flavoring the basic
right.
scotch, right?
Right, but it's not, you can't add flavor to scotch. So what you have to do is you have to extract it from the wood.
Right.
So by using these casks, these wine casks, you're actually able to do that. So for instance, we have a item called Nectar d'Or, which is Sauternes casks.
Right. So they really pick up the flavor of the cask.
Exactly.
Now, these two scotches that I just tried,
mm-hmm.
okay, and that second one is just absolutely stellar.
It's amazing.
Can people try these out at the Highland Games?
They most certainly can.
And okay.
Actually, we're pairing up with the Westin Kierland. They'll actually have a tasting with some food pairings as well at Westin Kierland. So
okay.
That'll be great. And then also we'll have little bits that you can try during the games so you can get some of these wonderful flavor expressions like caramel, salted caramel and some other candies so that you can really notice those notes, whether it's semi-sweet chocolate, roasted coffee. You want to be able to make it a little bit more pronounced.
Okay. Now, Kevin, what you need to tell me here is, and it's coming up this next weekend. Now, Doug mentioned the Kierland. Now, what's going on Friday night?
Okay. At the Kierland on the Friday night, We're going to have a pipe jam competition where we've invited several fantastic bagpipers from throughout the area to compete, and that's at for basically audience applause. It's a it's a no holds barred type of thing. But we're also having what we would call dishes and drams. It's going to be just a nice semi-formal night where you can come out and enjoy some of Glenn Morangi's offerings and also have some food at the Kierland.
Okay, so this is like the kickoff.
This is the kickoff event for the games, yes.
Okay. Because I saw an awful lot of pipers last year at the games themselves.
Right. You'll see tons of pipers at the games. There won't be as many pipers on the Friday night, but this is a nice way.
These are kind of like the best of the best pipers that are coming out, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
So folks can go to the Kierland and help you kick off the games. We've got a great setup out there. They can try some of the scotches with food pairings, which is really a cool deal. If you haven't done that, you need to get out there and do that. Now you're going to have a Scotch master out there. I call him a Scotch master. You probably call him something else, but he's going to be out there teaching people about the different types of scotches, right?
Correct. So, for instance, this Glenmorangie is all single malt. That just means it comes from a single distiller.
Right. Okay.
So, for those people that might be familiar with Johnny Walker, you actually are picking different distillates from different distillers and then blending them. That's the difference between a single malt and a blended scotch.
Oh, okay. Okay. But people can learn that out there.
Yes. That and a lot of other things.
Okay. But they have to sign up for that, don't they?
They have to sign up. I believe it's $20 to $30, depending on the tasting that you want.
Okay. So, is there a website that people can go to find out, you know, the times and all of what's going on?
Oh, absolutely. We have a full website at arizonascots.com, which has information on every aspect of the Highland Games, including the event on the Friday night at the Kierland.
Okay, so they can get it all off the website.
You can get everything from information to even buying tickets for the event through the website.
Okay, Doug, now I know we've had some fun talking about scotch.
Yes.
And or scotchity, scotch. But now, where can people go and find out about the whole line of Glenmorangie scotch?
You can actually go to glenmorangie.com.
Okay.
And if you really enjoy this, there's wonderful places around town, obviously the Weston Kierland. If you want to bring some home with you, the Milshun, we actually have it available at Total Wine, BevMo, AJ's.
Okay, but people can find out more about it, and probably the best thing to do.
GlenMorangie.com, for sure.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Or come out to the games.
That's what I was just going to say. Just come out to the games. Because, you know, I know that when I buy a bottle of anything, it's kind of like, well, I guess I won't know until I crack the top.
Yep.
And if I go out to the games, I can actually taste.
Yes.
And on top of that, the games are an absolute blast. 52 years, Kevin. Have you ever competed in these games?
I've competed in our hometown games many times.
Have you really?
And also compete all around the world as a drum major and as a drummer in pipe bands. So I've competed all over the United States, in Canada, and in Scotland.
Okay, did you ever throw the caber?
I never threw the caber. I'm a musician.
Okay, I thought you never know.
No.
The baton. Right?
Yeah, well, the drum major's mace is very similar to the caber. It's not nearly as tall. It's only, you know, 5 feet tall, but we do some very similar things where we are judged on how we put the mace up through the air. And
I was going to say, that's also a skill.
It really is.
I've had a couple of good friends that were drum majors, you know, for bands,
right.
You know, big bands, and I'm sure you were too. That is an absolute skill to twirl and to toss.
Right. Not only that, but also to keep our military bearing and keep our drill, you know, by the book, and we're judged on a variety of different drill aspects and flourishing aspects. Our uniform goes through a full inspection before we even compete. So the skill of being able to throw the mace up in the air is one thing, but to have it go exactly where you want it coming up and back down and moving forward and keep your body perfectly straight, stay on step with the music, stay marching in a straight line. It's a lot of work.
It sounds tough.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, we're going to have so much fun out there at the game. I'm going again this year. I got to go. I mean, I think once you get out to the games. Now, Kevin, let me ask you a question. And we've had fun with you know, talking about scotch and tasting and people coming from all over to take part. This goes to a good cause. And, you know, where do the proceeds end up?
The proceeds for the games, you know, first off, go to the Caledonian Society of Arizona.
Okay.
And that is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that promotes Scottish culture and history within the state. And the meetings that we have as a Caledonian Society are always educational, but they're also very fun. Every month, the society puts together a program where we talk about a different topic of, you know, Scottish heritage. Sometimes we'll have Highland dancers come in and give demonstrations. Sometimes we'll have talks about a particular Scottish event in history. We've had talks about pipe bands. We've had talks about Scottish athletics. But the proceeds from that go into the society, and then that also goes out right back into some of the membership. And we have given scholarships to so many athletes, dancers, students over the years, and it all goes right back into the community.
And everybody can come out and have a good time and know that they're actually helping out.
Absolutely. Everybody is welcome at the games, but then anything that they do, any tickets that they buy into the games, anything that they spend, it is going back to a very good cause.
Okay, so that's coming up on the weekend of the 19th and 20th, or just this next weekend,
yeah, just
actually.
This next weekend.
And the kickoff is Friday night at the Westin Kierland, right?
Correct.
Okay. You can find out the costs for all of that. What's the website again?
ArizonaScots.com.
Okay. And Doug, tell me about the tastings one more time. I mean, what do I got to do, to get in on this?
Well, you can come right up to the games, walk right over to our tent, and sign up for the time that best suits you or what is available. So there's 4 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday.
Okay. Now, this darker scotch that I'm going to have one more little taste here. Tell me what it is again.
Milshin. Which just means sweet in Gaelic.
It's sweet. It's very really tasty. Nice. Very tasty. That could be dangerous stuff.
That is dangerous stuff.
There's but I'll tell you what, and I just want to put this reminder in there because we still got a minute or two. Mm-hmm. If people do come out and they do the tastings and things like that, bring a designated driver.
Yes.
Because
please.
You want to be drinking responsibly. No matter what you drink, whether you're doing the Scotch tastings, or whether you're did you say you were gonna what you said you had a beer sponsor out there too?
Yes, we have Four Peaks Brewery.
Okay, and they're what their Kilt Lifter's going to be out there?
Yes, Kilt Lifter should be pretty popular at the weekend.
And so, if I want to come out and wear my own kilt, I can do that.
Absolutely, we hope you do.
Okay, well, I don't know. Let's just say, come on out, have a Scotch tasting, watch the games, make sure you have a designated driver.
Yes, please.
Or have your number on your phone where you can be given a ride.
Yep.
And have a good time. And if you want to find out more about the Glenmorangie Scotches, website?
Glenmorangie.com.
Okay. And Kevin, Doug, you guys are the best. Come back and see me, will you? Good luck with the games. I'll see you out there.
Thanks. Thank you. We'll see you there.